Okay, well, I want to encourage you to pray for different folks who are out serving the Lord today, for the birds, as they will be at Mineral Point today. Of course, Luke and Leah. And then we have a group of young men that are going to be spending the week at Mineral Point, helping them with the Vacation Bible School. Rejoice in that. And two of our young ladies are in New York, Misty and Ricky, helping the ministry there. So I pray for them as they are in New York. And Wyatt and Thomas are still away from us serving the Lord. So continue to pray for them. This morning, I want to talk about the threefold ministry of the Holy Spirit. Kind of a summary or a final summary, simplified a message on the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And our question is, have you personally experienced the ministry of the Holy Spirit in your life? Are you experiencing the ministry of the Holy Spirit in your life? We'll start as we turn to John chapter 14. John chapter 14. As the Lord speaks of the coming of the Holy Spirit, in verse 16 he says, "And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth," verse 17, "whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But you know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you." So we think of the ministry of the Holy Spirit, we first of all see the ministry, the general ministry of the Holy Spirit, that is with men in general. With men in general. And if you turn to John chapter 16, we are going to look at the ministry that the Holy Spirit has in the world. John chapter 16, verse 7. "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you, but if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment." And when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. We have this wonderful ministry of the Holy Spirit in the world, or with men. The Bible tells us that he is convicting men. And convicting is a word that we get the word convince from. The Bible tells us that this reproving ministry is a ministry of light. In Ephesians chapter 5, it gives us quite an exposition on this. In Ephesians chapter 5, the work of reproof of what it really is, it says this, verse 11, "And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them." In other words, show them that they are wrong. "For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light." The Holy Spirit has this ministry of convicting or reproof. It's a ministry of light. Now, the Holy Spirit is light in himself. Holy Spirit uses creation. The Holy Spirit uses conscience. The Holy Spirit uses the Bible. The Holy Spirit uses the holy life of believers. The Holy Spirit uses light to convict the world. Very important ministry of the Holy Spirit to convict the world. The believer needs to be light for the Holy Spirit to use them to convince them, others, lost people, that they know not Jesus Christ as their Savior. Holy Spirit uses light. The believer needs to be light in the world. And if you are doing things that are worldly, if you are doing things that hindering the light, then the people around you will not be convinced of their sinfulness. The Holy Spirit has a wonderful ministry of convicting. It's a ministry with men. It says he will convict the world of sin. You know, most people don't think that sin is sin. You know that? Most people think it's something that's, oh, it's not so good. They think maybe it's not so good. Maybe I shouldn't do it. But you know, sin is against God. Sin is against God. You know, a lot of people would like to get rid of the sins in their life because they make their life miserable. The Bible says that the way of the transgressor is hard. And people like to get rid of their sins. They like to get rid of the things that make their life difficult, the things that put them in trouble with the law, things that put them in trouble with their teachers, things that put them in trouble in life, and things don't go so well. But you know, the Holy Spirit convicts people that those things are sins against God. There's the difference. David said, I've sinned against thee. You know, the difference between repentance and remorse. You know, a lot of people are remorseful of their sin. And we have to make sure that we don't try to take remorseful people and try to get them to pray a prayer of accepting Christ, because they'll never be converted. Because remorse is not repentance. Repentance is recognizing that we've sinned against God. We've sinned against God. Brother Heath and I were talking. The problem with the addictions ministry in general, not the problem with addictions, but problem with addictions, is people, they want to get rid of their addictions because they want their life to be better. But that's not what's going to give them victory. When they see that their addictions are sins against God, when they see that their sins against God, and they want their life changed because they want to please God, now there can be victory. But you know, that's, be careful with children. You know, many times children, they're remorseful that they got caught doing wrong, or that their life is miserable because they do wrong. But that's not repentance. You know what? The Holy Spirit's ministry in the world is to convince people of sin. And you know, it's light. It shows the light on a person's soul, and how wicked sin is, and what the character of sin is. Now, you know, good illustration of that is, you know, if you have low, dim lighting in your house, people can come in and they probably won't see that you haven't dusted. But you know, if the light is bright, it will be really obvious if you've dusted or not, won't it? Yeah. There's a chain what the Holy Spirit does. People, they look at things and they don't see the dust. But when the Holy Spirit's light shines on their life, they see it as sin against God. Now the Holy Spirit has this tremendous ministry of convincing and says of sin and of righteousness. Now we recognize that this ministry is with men and certainly the ministry that is on the lost people of the world. And he has a second ministry of convincing them of righteousness. Now, what does this mean? This means that the Holy Spirit shows lost people that righteousness is beautiful. It's beautiful. It's becoming. It's wonderful. You know, there's a lot of places today that try to take out whatever the Bible says about sin. They don't want to preach about what the Bible says about sins. Because they're afraid that people won't get saved. And they don't want to talk about what God expects, how God expects people to live, because they say they don't want people to not get saved. Well, I think what that is saying is that it is saying that they have a ministry that is not dependent on the Holy Spirit. They have a ministry that's not dependent on the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit does two things. The Holy Spirit shows lost people how sinfulness sin is. And how ugly it is. How rotten it is. And it causes people to be repulsed at sin. And it also shows how beautiful righteousness is. And it causes people to be drawn to righteousness. I remember one of the statements of my history teacher of the New Testament. In Revival New Testament, he said this. He says, in the New Testament, there was true revival because people were drawn to the holiness of the apostles. People want it to be holy. I was just reading about the Welsh Revival in 1904. And R.B. Jones was talking about one of the greatest meetings that he had on the Isle of Anglesey. And he preached in Isaiah chapter 6. And he said the result of that revival was that the saints of God, I can't remember exact word he said, but the saints of God gave themselves to God anew and afresh to live as holy as possible. Because they saw holiness as beautiful. Now that's the ministry of the Holy Spirit. I think that there's a lot of ministries out there that don't believe in the Holy Spirit. I think there's a lot of ministries that don't believe in the ministry of the Holy Spirit. They don't understand the ministry of the Holy Spirit. I think a lot of ministries today, they're trying to shove sin under the carpet. They never preach against sin. They never preach about holiness. And the reason is they want a big crowd. Guess what? They want the wrong kind of crowd. Because the Holy Spirit of God is the light of the Lord. And the light of the Lord shows sin as rotten and causes people to be repulsed by their sin. The Holy Spirit sheds His light on righteousness. And instead of righteousness, you know, you heard words about weird, strange, cult, way out. That's what they call holiness. But you know, the Holy Spirit says, it says it's beautiful. It's wonderful. People are drawn to that. This is the true Holy Spirit of heaven. The true Holy Spirit of heaven. And says of judgment. Judgment. You know, one of the big words today is what? Don't judge. Ever heard that before? Hear it all the time. I hear Christian people talking like that. You know what? The Bible says that the Holy Spirit's job is to shed light on judgment. In other words, take away all the gray. Right and wrong. It's not maybe you go to heaven, maybe you go to hell. The Holy Spirit, you're going to hell. I remember the day the Holy Spirit made clear to me I was on my way to hell. All the gray area was gone. I saw my sin as sinful. I saw the Lord as wonderful, beautiful. And that, I was on my way to hell. And I needed Jesus Christ. You know, the work of the Holy Spirit. Do we need the work of the Holy Spirit? We need the work of the Holy Spirit more than ever. More than ever. More than ever, people need to understand the work of the Holy Spirit. More than ever, people need to recognize the counterfeit of fake ministry that doesn't preach against sin. That people feel the liberty to become immodest and to gossip and to live a worldly life. That is not of the Holy Spirit. That is of the world. I wonder today, do you know the Holy Spirit? Can you recognize the difference between the ministry of the Holy Spirit and the ministry of the false spirit of this world? Do you recognize the difference? Or do you call the spirit, the fake spirit of this world, do you call that the Holy Spirit? And do you call the Holy Spirit something other than who He is? Wow. The ministry of the Holy Spirit with men. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Here we have the regenerating ministry of the Holy Spirit. Verse 9. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Now, you know what? The false Holy Spirit doesn't show people the sinfulness of sin. The false Holy Spirit does not show people the beauty of holiness. The false Holy Spirit does not make it clear that God is against sin and there is a place called hell. The false Holy Spirit doesn't do that. Now, notice what the true Holy Spirit does. Knowing not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, homosexuals, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers. Nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. How can that be? Because, verse 11, and such were some of you, but ye are washed, ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by who? Spirit of God. The Spirit of God. The same Holy Spirit that convinces men that sin is awful. The same Holy Spirit that convinces men that righteousness is beautiful. The same Holy Spirit that shows men they deserve to go to hell. That same Holy Spirit, the Bible says, here we have the ministry of the Holy Spirit. It says, you're washed. Wash. Wash from what? Well, you know what? You work with certain chemicals. You know, they say, better wash. So, you know, I was putting muriatic acid on the bricks out there, and it says you're supposed to have gloves on and glasses on. And, of course, I didn't have any of that. And I got some on my hand, and I felt it sting. So I washed. That's what I did. Wash it off. I mean, that's what you do, right? Is washed off. Praise the Lord. Guess what? The Holy Spirit washes us from the defilement of sin. Amen. The Holy Spirit washes us from the defilement of sin. Now, what do you mean by wash? Well, you know what? If I didn't wash off that muriatic acid, it would keep on stinging. You know that? I don't know. It might burn later on. But, you know, if you don't get washed, or put it this way, if you get washed, you get washed from the defilement of sin. Praise the Lord. Now you're free. Now you're free. Washed. That's what the Holy Spirit does. He washes us. What a great truth. You know, it's gone. How can it be? How can it be that Matt Weber can say, now, Lord, if you can, with your blood, cleanse me from the penalty of my sin, certainly you can deliver me from the power of these drugs. Amen? Yeah. He washes us. It says, but you are sanctified. This Bible says the Holy Spirit sanctifies us. You know what that means? It means it takes us out of the world. Out of this filthy world. We're set apart from this filthy, rotten world. And we're set apart to serve God. Is that just theory? Or is it real? Is that just theory? Or is that real? I think it's real. Sanctifies us. You know, a person, when they get saved, they all of a sudden realize, hey, I don't belong to them anymore. I don't belong to them anymore. I don't belong to this world. I'm different than this world. I'm a child of God. There ought to be a sense of that. Isn't it amazing? When Christians backslide, what happens? They lose the sense that they don't belong in this world. They lose the sense that they don't belong to this world. And they get friendly again with the world. They don't see the world as empty. They don't see the fun of the world as empty. They don't see the entertainment of the world as empty. But the Bible says you're sanctified. Set apart. You know, when you get saved, you get a purpose in life. Before you're saved, you don't have a purpose in life. Wonder today, you have a purpose in your life? What's your purpose? Have you been sanctified? Have you been sanctified? You know, just trying to reflect back to my conversion. I remember being at the University of Wisconsin. I went to the University of Wisconsin to be a civil engineer. You know, work with buildings, land, concrete, not people, not souls. No, not souls. But I remember very specifically after getting saved thinking, you know what? I want to tell people about God. I want to tell people what their soul needs. The Bible says when we get saved, we get sanctified. We get set apart from this empty world, has no values. You know, think about how empty this world is. You know how empty this world is? That a lot of people, they spend their whole life putting a ball in a hole. That's what they're going to accomplish with their whole life. I mean, that's pretty empty, isn't it? You know, I think about, I was shocked when I heard that now there are women driving race cars. You know, that's whatever, but you talk about a lady with children. Here's a mother. She has children. And she's driving one of these cars. You know, I think, absolutely foolish. She is risking her life for this foolish pursuit of crossing the finish line, and is willing to let her children be motherless for this foolish pursuit that accomplishes nothing in this world. That's the world, isn't it? Emptiness. Oh, the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Titus chapter 3 and verse 5. Verse 3, it says, "For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures." That's the world. "Living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But after that, the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost." The renewing of the Holy Ghost. Making a person new. Making a person new. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation, a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God. You know, that's what the Holy Spirit does. That's what the Holy Spirit does. The Holy Spirit regenerates a person. Holy Spirit makes a person new. He has a ministry with men. A ministry with men. Have you experienced that ministry? You know, there's a huge difference between religion and the ministry of the Holy Spirit. I remember the first time I ever sat in a Bible-believing church. The first time I ever went to a church where the Bible was preached. I remember going to that service and I said, you know, for 18 years I went to church. And there was never any message that I remember except one, and that I remember the preacher talking about politics. But here I go to this place and I hear the message one time, and the Spirit of God, I didn't know it was the Spirit of God. I knew God was there showing me my sin. the ministry of the Holy Spirit. You know, liberalism is you become saved by learning more. That's liberalism. The more you learn, the more your conversion is real. That's not the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit shows people how terrible sin is. Holy Spirit shows people how beautiful godliness is. Isn't that amazing today? How little godliness is lifted up. I am just amazed. I know a young man, this is a number of years ago, he's at a certain college, and Christian college, and they're going to have, they're having football practice on Sunday afternoon. And this particular young man said, no, I'm not going to go to practice on Sunday afternoon. Sunday is the Lord's Day. And the coach said, well, if that's what you do, you can be on the team, but you won't play. You won't play. Isn't it amazing how little Christianity, what little regard Christianity has for godliness nowadays? You know, I think what's missing is the real Holy Spirit. The real Holy Spirit. For sake of time, I think we'll just summarize real quickly. Maybe we'll come back to this. John chapter 7. Now think about this Holy Spirit, who is light. It's through Him that Jesus lightens the world. So this is the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. No namby-pamby figure. John chapter 7, verse 38. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. Now think of this same true Holy Spirit. This same true Holy Spirit who shows how ugly sin is, how beautiful righteousness is, how real judgment is, that will cause people to turn to Jesus Christ, will save them from their sin, set them apart from the world to serve God. Now think of that Holy Spirit. Now living right within our soul. Wow. That's the Holy Spirit. That's living in the soul of a believer. That Holy Spirit. That Holy Spirit. He's there. Not a long way away. Not a long way away. You don't have to go to church to have that Holy Spirit doing His work. In fact, when you go to church, it's a double whammy. You know why I say that? It's a double whammy. Because that Holy Spirit is living in you. And when you go to church, the church is the temple, the house of the Holy Spirit when they meet. It's a double whammy. Is that what you experience? A double whammy? The effects of that Holy Spirit in our life. You know, the reality is, when an unbeliever comes to the house of God, he ought to know it's different. Because that person is living in a lost world. And they're coming in the atmosphere of the Holy Spirit. They ought to sense the difference. They ought to sense a conviction of sin. They ought to sense their immodesty. They ought to sense their inappropriateness. They ought to sense their flippantness. But when a believer who has the Holy Spirit in him, when they come to the house of God, that influence of the Spirit of God ought to be mighty powerful. It ought to be like when the preacher stands up and says, reads the text, and before he preaches, the believer says, oh no, I know it's coming. I know it. I repent. That's how it ought to be. The double effect of the Holy Spirit. Oftentimes, the double effect of the Holy Spirit. Oftentimes, there are people who say to me, Pastor, you know what? The exact same thing, the very thing the Spirit of God spoke to me about today, or the very thing the Holy Spirit spoke to me about this week, I come to church and it's the very thing you preach on. The very thing! They didn't call me up and say, Pastor, the Lord's convicted me about such and such. Will you please preach on it? No. Because you see, double whammy. The Holy Spirit living within. I wonder, do you just have religion? Do you just have religion? Do you somehow have become your knowledge has brought you to this church? But not salvation! Do you have religion? But not the Holy Spirit. Big difference, isn't it? Huge difference. Huge difference. Living water, rivers. We could talk a lot about that. The question is, what's your relationship to the Holy Spirit? Is it a living river? Or has it been so squeezed out, it's like a trickle? It's like a trickle. Acts 2:4. Acts 2:4. Well, actually, Acts 2:1-4. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as fire that sat upon each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with tongues as the Holy Spirit gave them utterance. The Lord says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He hath anointed me to preach glad tidings. The Holy Spirit with men, the Holy Spirit within believers, the Holy Spirit upon men. Holy Spirit upon men. A vessel surrendered to God. A vessel empowered by God. A vessel doing the work of God. Kind of goes in that order. Holy Spirit with men. Convicting, regenerating. Now the Holy Spirit within. Like a living water. And now the Holy Spirit upon. Kind of goes in that order, doesn't it? With, then within, and upon. Kind of progression. Ask ourselves today, where are you? Have you met the real Holy Spirit who's brought real conviction, real repentance, real conversion? Is that Holy Spirit now living within, enabling, leading, enlightening, building, imparting, fruit, gifting? Is he upon us? Is he upon you? To go out with power, to witness, to go out with power to give the Word of God. You know, even that, there are different stages. You know, when the Holy Spirit is not upon a person, their mouth is closed. Maybe we say before that their eyes are closed. They don't see lost sinners. And when we don't see lost sinners, even if we see lost sinners, our tongue can be, our mouth can be shut. We don't know what to say. We don't know how to start a conversation. Our lips are sealed. We want to talk, but we can't. We need the Holy Spirit upon us. And then there's the next stage of being able to witness and talk. But the real desire is to be empowered that we're effective. We're effective. So the Spirit of God can be free to convict. Holy Spirit can be free to open people's hearts. Holy Spirit can be free to do His work of salvation. Threefold ministry of the Holy Spirit with men, within believers, and upon us for power. Each one of those are so real, so important. In your experience with God, where are you? In your experience with God, where are you? In every case, there's a human response. There's a human response to the Holy Spirit conviction from without. There's always a required response to the Holy Spirit conviction from within. And there's always a need for hunger and thirst for His power to be upon us. Let's pray. Lord, realize today, Lord, how much we are living a day of false spirits. False spirits, fake spirits. And no marvel, for the devil himself is transformed into an angel of light. Lord, we see who You really are. Lord, those who have come under real conviction of sin, really convinced of righteousness, we've also read about it. Read about how people would go to the bar and order a drink and leave under the conviction of the Holy Spirit. How people would go, unsaved people would go to a dance hall and they'd run away because the Holy Spirit is holy. Lord, we don't see much of that today. Lord, our ministry needs the real thing. Lord, we sometimes wonder what's really going on in this world and even in religion, even in churches. As holiness is laughed at and scorned and mocked and called all sorts of horrible names by people who call themselves even Christians. Oh Lord, we long for your work with men. Lord, I pray that your work within the believer would be real. They would not be snuffed out by the world, worldly lusts, worldly pleasures, worldly pursuits. Oh Lord, that powerful influence that brought us to you ought to be all the more powerful when he lives within. And Lord, may we be a people who as well know and experience your Holy Spirit upon us, empowering us to get out the gospel, to spread your kingdom, to see souls come to you. Lord, may it be clear, the message and our relationship to the Holy Spirit, what it is, what is lacking right now, if we even know you at all. Lord, may the truth cause those who have the spirit of the world and the false spirit of the apostasy to flee from it, to count it a deception, and to flee to the real Spirit of God. Might they repent, Lord. Might they repent of the mistake of calling that fake spirit the real spirit. Oh God, might we long to have your spirit upon us in power. Not that fake spirit to bribe people, to put gray areas over sin and righteousness, but the real one who is bright and light and holy. With heads bowed and eyes closed, maybe you're here today, you're a believer, you know it. But the Spirit of God, his influence is far from you. That Spirit of God who hates the worldliness of the world, his voice is very dull, very distant. Your heart has been taken away. And you say, Pastor, I need to get back to fellowship with the Spirit of God, the God of heaven. A heart that is tender, heart that hears the voice of the Spirit of God. And today the Lord has spoken to your heart about how the Holy Spirit has been far away. His voice has been light and very dull. And you need to turn from those things and ask the Holy Spirit to show you the things that are dulling that voice. Say, Pastor, pray for me. The Spirit of God has spoken to my heart today. My relationship with that Spirit within me is not anywhere close to where it needs to be. God has spoken to your heart. Anyone here today? Okay. Amen. Amen. Maybe you're here today, you say, you know, I realized that the Spirit of God and his power, I needed upon my life to be a witness. I want to walk with God, but I'm not really seeking God's power in my life to be a witness. And I need his power upon my life. I need to hunger and thirst and seek the Holy Spirit to empower me to witness and to be what I ought to be for Christ. The Lord has shown that to me today, to have His power upon me. Pray with me, Pastor. This is a big, important thing for me to realize what He wants to do in my life. Anyone here today, just lift up your hand and say, pray with me, Pastor. Amen. Amen. Okay. Perhaps you're here today and you say, you know what, Pastor? You know, I need to repent. I need to repent of calling, mistaking the whole, the spirit of the world and the spirit of worldly Christianity and the spirit of religion. I need to repent of calling Him the Holy Spirit when that spirit causes Christians to be worldly and immodest and not hear God's voice, call righteousness all sorts of foolish names. And you realize today that you've been deceived. And you need to call the true Holy Spirit the Holy Spirit. And call the counterfeit a fake Holy Spirit. God has opened your eyes today to see the real identity of the Holy Spirit and say, Pastor, pray with me. The Spirit of God has shown me that I've been deceived by the false spirit of the world and a false and apostate religion. And I can see today what the real Holy Spirit is. And God has shown me that today. And you are desirous to be freed from that false spirit. God has spoken to your heart. Say, Pastor, pray with me. God has spoken to my heart today about that. Anyone here today? Lord, now I pray that this will be a great day. And the truth of your word will live on. And I'm praying, Lord, for those who are not saved, who have religion, maybe some emotionalism, maybe some remorse somewhere, but never true conversion. And I pray that, Lord, today that they would see the difference. And they would long to have a new birth, a new heart that loves righteousness, a Holy Spirit who loves righteousness and hates sin and changes lives. And so, Lord, might you work in our midst, bless your people. Might, Lord, even today, there be a significant difference in our lives as we think of your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.